Welcome to Reconquest on the Crusade channel of the Veritas Radio Network. This is Brother Andre Marie coming to you from St. Benedict Center in Richmond, New Hampshire. Our websites are Catholicism.org and Reconquest.net. My email address is bam@Catholicism.org. I can also be found easily on Twitter at @Brother_Andre and on Facebook. Before I get on with the show tonight, I wanted to do a little commercial for St. Benedict Center's annual conference. We will have speakers there, a lineup of regulars, including Gary Potter, who is a contributor to Catholicism.org, C. Joseph Doyle, or Joe Doyle, who's the head of the Catholic Action League of Massachusetts and who is a guest on Reconquest from time to time. We also have this year Mike Church, the founder of the Veritas Radio Network and the Crusade Channel, where you're hearing this. He will be joining us on Saturday. I think he'll be here for the whole conference, but he'll be speaking on Saturday morning. And there will be other speakers as well, including myself. And this will be on September 30th and October 1st. This is a Friday and Saturday. And you'll get to see the beautiful New England fall if you're not from around these parts. It'll be at St. Benedict Center in Richmond, New Hampshire. And if you want to find out more about it, go to Catholicism.org, go into the search bar and type in 2016 conference, and you'll find some things on it. If you want to know more, email me at bam@Catholicism.org. This evening's show is entitled The Precious Blood of Jesus. As I'm giving this show, as I'm recording this show, it is the Feast of the Precious Blood of Jesus, July 1st, which is the first day of the month dedicated to the Precious Blood of Jesus. There is a cult of the Precious Blood of Jesus that has been big in the Catholic Church, and I would say it grew to full fruition in the 19th century with some great saints like St. Vincent Mary Strombi and St. Gaspar del Bufalo, who founded a religious congregation dedicated to the mystery of the Precious Blood of Jesus. The feast itself of the Precious Blood is a fairly late feast, and it was instituted in the 19th century by Blessed Pope Pius IX, and it was in thanksgiving for the ending of his exile in Gaeta and his return to the city of Rome after the revolutionaries basically booted him out. Long story there. We don't need to go into that. But in the 19th century, you also have the great apostle of England, Father Faber, the Oratorian priest who gave us the book, an entire book on the mystery of the Precious Blood of Jesus. So, as I say, it's a devotion which in the Catholic Church grew a particular, obviously there's always been a devotion to the Precious Blood, just as there's been always been a devotion to the Sacred Heart, to the person of Christ, etc., to the Trinity, obviously. But the particular form, the particular focus on the mystery of the Precious Blood really came to a fruition and a maturation during the 19th century and has kind of been on the wane since the second half of the 20th century. But I dare say it's making a bit of a comeback in our own day, particularly within the ranks of the traditional movement. But what I want to focus on is not so much the saints that brought it out and, you know, what Father Faber wrote or what these different apostles of the Precious Blood wrote. But I want to focus on the actual mystery itself of the Precious Blood. So I'm going to begin by talking about some Old Testament types. I'm going to talk about the reality that we get in the New Testament, what St. Paul had to say about it in the Epistle to the Hebrews. And if I've got time, I'm going to get to a sermon of St. John Chrysostom. And if I have more time, which I doubt, I'll get to a little bit to a sermon of St. Augustine. Okay, so let's get right into the subject, talking about Old Testament types. Now, obviously, this is not a place for in-depth study of this, but I can refer you to things that you can look up and learn more about in your private studies. First of all, just a little overview of the Old Testament. We have the Paschal Lamb. We have the mystery of the Paschal Lamb. Well, the Paschal Lamb, of course, is prefigurative of our Lord. And we know that the Paschal Lamb was slain annually in commemoration of those lambs that were slain at that first Paschal meal when the Hebrews were leaving, or the Israelites were leaving Egypt, and they were commanded by Moses to follow a very special set of guidelines for eating this meal. They were to be standing, having their staves in their hands, having their loins girded. They were to eat very specific things, including the Paschal Lamb. But that Paschal Lamb was to be sacrificed and its blood to be sprinkled in a particular fashion on the lintels of the doorposts of the Hebrews in Egypt. The specific typology here is not just that the Lamb is a victim, which of course our Lord was, and St. John the Baptist points him out as the Lamb of God when he says, "Behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world." But the blood itself was protective. The blood itself was a protection. All the houses that were marked by the precious blood, or rather by the blood of the Lamb, which was prefigurative of our Lord in many ways. It was innocent. It was an animal that was a pure victim. It couldn't defend itself. It was also without blemish. The Paschal lambs were to be without blemish, showing that our Lord was without sin. But those lambs had their blood sprinkled on the doorpost, and when the angel of God passed over, the angel of death passed over Egypt, he passed over the houses of the Israelites, but passed into the houses of the Egyptians to take the firstborn of the Egyptians. And this, of course, is what occasioned Pharaoh finally allowing the Israelites to leave. So it was liberating. So the blood of the Lamb was liberating, but the blood of the Lamb was also a protection. So it saved the Jews from death and from destruction. And as such, it is a type of the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which saves us. We have all throughout the Mosaic law the blood of various animals, of oxen and heifers and bulls and goats, all of which were offered in sacrifice and all of which were prefigurative of the precious blood of our Lord. They were all animals offered in sacrifice, and the blood itself was used to sprinkle things. We'll get to that a bit later, more into that. Why, by the way, did Aaron the priest have to offer the blood of a calf? And why did he offer the blood of a goat? Every year, annually on Yom Kippur, the priest, the high priest, and Aaron was the first high priest, had to offer the blood of a calf and the blood of a goat. Now, later on in Yom Kippur, there was the scapegoat, which is a separate ritual, but the blood of a calf and the blood of a goat were also offered. Why? Well, one destroys an innocent victim, but sometimes one destroys something that is also improperly worshipped as a god. The Jews did not worship goats, but the Egyptians worshipped goats, and there was a cult of Apis in Egypt, and this is what the offering up of the blood of a goat is to symbolize. Goats are, of course, in modern days worshipped by Satanists. It's a goat's head superimposed over an upside down pentagram is a sign of Satanism, but goats were slain deliberately because they were worshipped as false gods in Egypt. But Aaron also offered the blood of a calf. Why? Well, the book of Leviticus specifies that this is a sin offering specifically for the priest. Don't forget, Aaron led the people in the cult of false worship of the golden calf. From that time on, God makes Aaron and all of his offspring do penance by offering up this sin offering of the blood of a calf. Anyway, there's all kinds of symbolism like this in the Old Testament. But what I'm getting at specifically with the blood of these animals, all of them symbolized the blood of Christ. They prefigured the blood of Christ. And this is the way that the fathers of the church read this. And we'll see that in this sermon of St. John Chrysostom that I plan on getting to later. Moses sprinkled blood on all of those things which were to be sanctified, all of the appurtenances that were to be used in the tabernacle that was used in the desert, and later those instruments that were used in the temple were sprinkled with blood in order to sanctify them and set them aside and consecrate them for holy use. And then there is this. There was the very, very curious prohibition in the Mosaic law found in the book of Leviticus, chapter 17, the prohibition against the eating of blood. Now that we live in the grace of the New Testament, we can, of course, eat pork. That's not the greatest benefit, but it's one of the benefits of living in the New Testament. We can also eat delectable things like blood sausage. If you're from where I'm from, Louisiana, there are different kinds of blood sausage that Cajuns make and so forth down in Louisiana. And if you live in Puerto Rico or the Dominican Republic or something, you have mofongo and other kinds of blood sausage. This is good stuff, but this was forbidden to the Jews. Why? Because as the book of Leviticus tells us in chapter 17, quote, "For the life of all flesh is in the blood. Therefore, I said to the children of Israel, you shall not eat the blood of any flesh at all, because the life of the flesh is in the blood, and whosoever eateth it shall be cut off." Now, the commentator who wrote the commentary in the Shaliner version of the Douay translation of the Old Testament gives us three reasons for there being this prohibition. First being that it was to show them not to want to spill blood in war, or not to want to spill blood by murdering their fellow man. So they should have a respect for blood and not desiring to spill it. Also, I actually forget what the second reason one is, but the third reason is the most important, and that is that this blood was prefigurative of the precious blood of our Lord. So the Jews, by way of a negation, by way of a prohibition, by way of a disallowance of approaching the blood of an animal, were shown that there is something sacred, something awesome, something life-giving in blood that they should respect. Therefore, you know, you go to a kosher butcher, for instance, and you'll find meat that has been bled in a very efficient manner. Not only is the animal slain in a fairly compassionate way, unlike the halal butchering of the Muslims, but not only do the Jews butcher the animal in a humane way, they also drain it of all of its blood. And because if one is to keep kosher today in the Jewish religion, one is still bound to that prohibition from blood. So an animal was not to be cooked in its own blood and so forth. Now, of course, that limit is not something that we're bound to today. And only Jehovah's Witnesses and other people who call themselves Christians but who belong to alien sects observe that prohibition against the eating of blood. You're listening to Reconquest on the Crusade channel of the Veritas Radio Network. We are talking about the precious blood of Jesus, which is a devotion that we Catholics practice specifically during this month of July, but obviously it's something for year round. So continuing on, looking very briefly at Old Testament types of the precious blood of our Lord. Just recapping, I say we have all of these sacrifices that were offered all the way back to Adam, by the way. Of course, Adam himself offered sacrifice. He was a priest. And we have the patriarchs all offering sacrifice. They were priests. And then we have the specific priesthood of the Aaronic line of the Levites. They were priests under the Mosaic law. All of them slaughtered animals as part of their sacrifices, and all of the blood that was shed was typological of the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, in the New Testament, now we see in the time of the Gospels, various sheddings of the blood of our Lord. We see very specifically in the Passion, but the Passion is not alone. Keep in mind, our Lord was circumcised as an infant on the eighth day, according to the Mosaic law. St. Luke the Evangelist tells us of his circumcision. And it is a pious belief that St. Joseph is the one who did the circumcising and therefore who gave him the name Jesus, because the name was bestowed on the day of the circumcision. So he's given the name of Savior at a rite which involved the first shedding of his blood. And it is said, I have seen it written, that on the eighth day of the child's, of a boy child's life, the vitamin K quotient in his blood is at its height. And therefore, although this was a fairly cruel rite, a painful rite, this shows you God's mercy tempered with his justice, inasmuch as vitamin K helps to stop the bleeding. This is not the practice of circumcision that is done in modern hospitals, and I don't want to get on a tangent and say that that is an abominable rite that Christians should not be subjected to. But the American Medical Association somehow thinks it's wise that non-Jews should be subject to this medical practice, which seems to have no tangible medical benefit and is very cruelly administered immediately after birth, unlike the ritual that was prescribed by God in the Old Testament on the eighth day. So Jesus was subjected to this rite, had his blood spilled the first time, and that bloodletting is commemorated in the Catholic liturgical calendar on January 1st, the Feast of the Circumcision. This day, July 1st, is exactly 6 months from that. So you might say that each half of the year is marked with a feast dedicated to the precious blood of our Lord, inasmuch as the January 1st feast is a bloodletting of our Lord, and then July 1st is the Feast of the Precious Blood. But of course, we especially see the precious blood of our Lord being spilt, being shed in the five sorrowful mysteries of the cross, not only in those where he's specifically wounded from the outside, as in the flagellation, the coronation with thorns, the way of the cross, the carrying of the cross, where he spilled blood all over the Via Dolorosa, the sorrowful way, and in the crucifixion itself, most especially, where he spilled all of his blood that remained. But we also get it in that first sorrowful mystery, the agony in the garden, because St. Luke, the evangelist, who is also a physician, we know that from Scripture, he was a physician. There's a tradition that he was an artist as well, and that there are certain icons that he painted in his lifetime. But that is a tradition, it's one that I believe, but we know from Scripture directly that he was also a physician. St. Paul himself calls St. Luke the dear and glorious physician. Now, St. Luke had sort of a scientist's eye. Commentators notice this when you pay attention to things that St. Luke says, both in his gospel and in the Acts of the Apostles. But he it is who records this mysterious bloodletting of our Lord in the agony in the garden. And this is a known phenomenon that can happen under great duress, great mental anguish, and emotional stress and so forth. Somebody can actually bleed, sweat blood through their skin because the tiny blood capillaries that are subcutaneous hemorrhage and come out in the sweat. And it is something that is only a result of great intense mental anguish, and it is exceedingly painful. In fact, the scientists tell us that not only is it painful, but it renders the entire surface of the skin much more sensitive to pain. And therefore, this gives us a further appreciation of the agony that our Lord went through throughout the rest of his passion after having undergone this bizarre and horrifically painful phenomenon of sweating blood in his agony in the garden. There is evidence for this in the Holy Shroud of Turin. Now, continuing, so we have all of these bloodlettings of our Lord in the Gospels, and particularly in his Passion, and all of these can be subjects for our meditation, particularly when we are praying the sorrowful mysteries of the Rosary. You're listening to Reconquest on the Crusade channel of the Veritas Radio Network, radio the way it should be.
You're listening to Reconquest with Brother Andre Marie, seeking that which was lost and fighting for it, exclusively on the Veritas Radio Network's Crusade.